I like the way your sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown. And I wanna sleep with you in the desert tonight, with a billion stars all around. 'Cause I got a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know you won't let me down. 'Cause I'm already standing on the ground.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 4 o'clock, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter, at Nick D Show, and stay connected with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Anthony Bonazzo is a stand-up comedian, lives right here in Chicago. He's a New Jersey native, and he is going to be hosting Brews and Bad Movies 9, Leprechaun in Space. Leprechaun 4 in Space, and it's going to be at the Music Box on March 18th, and we'll talk about that and more. And Anthony, how are you?
Good, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, 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 good. So, have you ever seen Leprechaun in Space?
I don't think I've seen that one. I think I've seen one or maybe like the first ones, but they're all probably equally bad. I don't know. It should be interesting.
Yeah, it's a horrible franchise, and they've eight of them. Which I find shocking that there are eight Leprechaun movies.
Well, it's like with any movie, right? Like, somebody keeps going to see it, and then you're like, why are you doing that? And then they just keep making them. I don't know why.
So you're originally from New Jersey, huh?
Yeah, East Coast. I was born in New York, and then we moved to New Jersey, and I grew up there. And then I've been in Chicago probably almost 13 years now.
Yeah. What was it like growing up on the East Coast?
I always say that the East Coast people say what Midwesterners are thinking, so it's a little more aggressive, like especially in traffic. Like, you know, people might be thinking something like, "Oh, what is this guy doing?" Right? But then in New Jersey or New York, they'll tell you exactly why they're annoyed with you, and Midwest they sort of hold it in a little bit more. It's a little more cordial, not always, but for the most part.
What was it like growing up? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, otherwise it was a regular, you know, regular life. I mean, we, you know, nothing, you know, crazy. We were like an hour from New York City, and that was always an interesting experience going in there as a kid to go to Yankee games and stuff. But nothing like too wild that, you know, would make my life like that much more unique because I grew up there. But
you also, speaking of growing up, you're one of eight kids. That must have been a little crazy.
Yeah. And I just drove home from a show. I was on the south side. There's a show, all that good stuff. It's in Beverly. It's a great show. And three of the people in the lineup all were one of eight kids.
Oh, no kidding.
Which is kind of like an enigma. And one guy was... I think it ended up being where, like, one comic was number eight, one comic was number seven, and one comic was number six. So, like, six, seven, eight of all eight kids, and I'm like, this is wild. But I had six sisters, and I think the other guy had six sisters as well. So that I probably should have included that in the growing up in New Jersey. That definitely makes it a little more interesting when you have that dynamic. Having just one brother and then a house full of six women.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, I'm always fascinated by people who have a ton of siblings because I'm an only child. And it's always fascinating to me to talk to people who have such a large family and a lot of siblings because that, you know, that's a foreign experience for me.
Well, yeah, you were able to get into the bathroom whenever you wanted.
Exactly.
You know, that's a nice little feature. You know, I mean, the good thing was that we're also very Italian, so we ate well, you know, and that was, you never go to a party and, like, hungry, you know.
Right.
There's pluses and minuses to the, you know, big families. There's drama and, you know, discord and having that many kids in one house.
Yeah.
The be a little chaotic at times. But
does your growing up life with all those siblings and everything, does that make it into your material? Have you used that as material for your stand up?
Yeah, for sure. Mostly my parents, just because they were, you know, probably more of the characters than anybody else. But, you know, some of the stories about, like, just the basics of growing up. Like, my brother left for the Marines when I was, like, I think I was, like, 9 years old. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
So I was just like, they're like, he's leaving. And I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
And I'm just standing in the window crying, thinking he's never coming back.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, and then it was just like a total female takeover in the house. So, you know, it was just me and my dad at that point. We were outnumbered, you know, so.
Yeah. All right. Anthony Bonazzo is here, and a stand-up comedian who has worked all around Chicago. He is going to be hosting Brews and Bad Movies number 9, Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space. And it's going to be on March 18th, the day after St. Patrick's Day, at the Music Box Theater at 8 o'clock. And the show is going to include a little stand-up set from you, correct?
Yeah, I'm actually doing, like, basically what they do is a group of producers, Brandon Posick, Monica Burns, and Michael Palmadari, they run a great show there, and they do a couple shows throughout the city. So basically, Brandon will, you know, be hosting the event, but then they bring in two headliners to do a, you know, quick set, but then they basically do like it's almost like Mystery Science Theater type style, where we're going to have the movie on, but we're going to also have a mic where we can comment.
Oh, cool.
On all the badness that we're going to witness, that I'm sure with Leprechaun movies.
My favorite Leprechaun movie, I don't know if I don't know which one you've seen or not, Anthony, but my favorite is Leprechaun in the Hood.
I knew you were going to say that. Brandon actually told me about it, and I was like, I got to Google some of this. And then just seeing some of these clips, I was like, oh, my God. Like,
It's pretty unbelievable, man. It's pretty unbelievable. But Leprechaun in the Hood. I actually own the DVD. And it's
that's a classic. I bet.
Yeah.
Probably a collector's item.
But sounds like you guys are going to have some fun. That's cool that you guys are going to do like the running commentary. I've always thought that was funny, especially during a terrible movie, terrible movie. And so it should be good. And it's on March 18th, 8 o'clock at the Music Box Theater. If you want to see Brews and Bad Movies, this is the 9th one they've done, huh?
Yeah, they did a few. I can't remember the other movies because I've seen the advertisements. This is the first one I'm on, but I remember they usually have a pretty good selection of bad ones.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to ask them because there's one really bad one that I don't know if they've put on, but it was, I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Oh yes, several times.
Yeah, so that's
that's kind of a cult. That one's kind of a cult classic. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's become like a kind of a go-to cult classic. And I remember when that thing first came out. I was like, what is this? You know. So
yeah,
but yeah,
I think I was just flipping around one day. I was like Saturday morning or something, and I'm like, you know, like what's that scene with the woman where like he's at the door and he's like, you know, let me in, and he's like changing his voices, and she's like, is she like Robin? And she opens the door and there's just this freaky looking clown, and I'm like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. And that's actually become, like I said, that's become like a cult classic. Did they do a sequel to that? Was there a sequel to Killer Clown?
Killer Clowns. I don't know if they ever did a sequel.
I'm kind of surprised that they have. I mean, look, if they've made, you know, 8 Leprechaun movies.
How did that one get the shaft?
Yeah.
You know what? They did make a sequel to it.
What's it called?
The Return of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Well, that makes sense.
In 3D.
Oh, it was in 3D. It was in 3D?
Beautiful 3D.
In 3D. Wow!
You can go to Navy Pier and watch it on IMAX.
Exactly. That's the for the entire enveloping experience. Go to the IMAX and watch it.
If you're chlorophobic, don't ever go to that movie.
Yeah. Anthony Bonazzo.
The It Clown makes an appearance.
There you go. Anthony Bonazzo is with us. He will be a part of Brews and Bad Movies 9, Leprechaun 4 in Space. It's going to have, there's going to be a stand-up showcase followed by a screening of Leprechaun in Space. there's going to be like some running commentary on what is essentially a really terrible movie, and I think that this is going to be a lot of fun. And it's on Wednesday, March 18th, and it's at 8 o'clock at the Music Box Theater. Music Box is such a beautiful, beautiful theater, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorites. You know, just living in Chicago, you know, and I hadn't been there until, like, you know, a couple of years ago, and I was like, well, how have I never not been coming here regularly?
Yeah.
You know, it's such a historic theater, and I thought it was really important that I go to one of their midnight movies as like just to like break me in. So I went and saw The Room at midnight there. I was like, I gotta break myself in really well to this. So I saw The Room. That was amazing. I mean, just that movie alone is just like, how do you, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, talk about bad movies, but or cult classics, but
yeah,
just having like you know, 150, I mean, it was packed.
Oh, it's always every time they scream the Room. By the way, for people who might not know, is widely considered perhaps the worst movie ever made. A guy named Tommy Wiseau, who's in it, wrote it, directed it, produced it. It is one of the worst movies you'll ever see. But if you go to see it at the Music Box at midnight, it becomes an interactive experience, not unlike Rocky Horror. They now have call and response. Was that your first time seeing the movie? Was with that crowd?
No, what happened was I was living where I live in Uptown, and somebody created like a free section upstairs, like a, you know, donation box to like, please take, you know, do whatever you want. And I was rooting through it, and I was like, oh, The Room, I've heard stuff about this movie. Let me take this and watch it. And I kind of watched, and I think everybody's first reaction to that movie is the first, you know, initial response. And so it's like, what was that? Like, you're just sort of perplexed. And then, like, it sticks with you, and then a couple days later, you're like, I gotta watch that again.
Yeah.
And then you're laughing, and you're like, how did I miss all this?
Yeah.
You know?
That's the exact response. It's different, but I will say this. The first time I saw The Room was on DVD, just in my, it was just me alone in my apartment. And I was just, like you said, I was like, what the hell am I watching? What is this? And then it becomes really funny, and then you watch it again, and, but I will say this. It's a completely different experience watching it with all those people at the Music Box.
Oh yeah, because I felt a little lost at times because I consider like myself to know the movie. I can quote the lines. I actually went as Tommy Wiseau for Halloween and was in character the whole night.
Oh no!
Half the people at the party didn't know who the hell I was.
They
were kind of like, who's that guy with the really long black hair? And I was just like. Like walk up to conversations that we're having and just be like, ha, 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 and do that laugh, you know, and people would look at me like, who is this guy? And like three people knew, like, they're like, Anthony, what are you doing? And then like other people had no clue. They're like, who invited this guy with the non-distinct accent?
You right.
Know? So when we went to the movie, I felt like lost. I was like, cause there were scenes where they were like, so, like getting up and like throwing like plastic silverware,
right?
Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah. It has become like the Rocky Horror. It has.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony Bonazzo is here, and you know, the Bruise and Bad Movies, Leprechaun in Space, is at the Music Box Theater on March 18th, and it starts at 8 o'clock. We'll talk more with Anthony here on 720 WGN as the Nick DiGiulio Show continues.
And the rosebuds know to bloom in early May. Just as hate knows love's the cure, you can rest your mind assured that I'll be loving you always. As now can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. Just as all that's born is new, do know what I say is true.
Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. The Friday features will begin at 3. No Vic's picks this morning coming up because Vic is really, really busy in the newsroom, as you can imagine. We're going to talk about inspirational movies that changed your life. Friday the 13th is coming up in just about less than a half an hour. So we're going to talk about the history of Friday the 13th and weird superstitions from around the world, and we'll talk about the Friday the 13th movies as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and texts. if you would like to join us. Anthony Bonazzo is my guest. He's a stand-up comedian, and he will be part of Brews and Bad Movies 9, Leprechaun in Space. It'll be March 18th at the Music Box. And Anthony, when did you first think about getting into comedy?
Coming from like such a big family, that was all that we really ended up morphing into. It was sort of like you either had to like, you know, be the person that poked the fun or be poked at.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So you're just sitting at these huge tables full of 20 people, and that's just sort of how I just, you know, I would start like telling stories about my dad, or I would make fun of somebody or imitate my mom or whatever, and that just kind of naturally developed over time. And I put it off for a long time because, you know, most people, like, you know, as most people do, I think they talk about it for a long time before they actually do it, and they're like, oh well, I write a lot of ideas down, you know, and then they never actually realize how important it is to get on stage, because once, you know, you can talk about it or think you're funny or have ideas that you've jotted down over the years, but until you're actually trying to deliver them to people, you know, it's a whole different animal.
When did you decide to come to Chicago, and did you choose Chicago because of our improv reputation?
I mean, it played like a role, like, but I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't like, a lot of people were like, oh, I gotta move to Chicago and I gotta do XYZ and it's my goal. I just knew that there would be opportunities for me to do comedy here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd done like an amateur competition in Virginia, and that was like the first time I ever did stand up. And then,
Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. Because it was like I'd never been on stage before, but I'd written like a set out, and I waited till literally like the last minute that you could wait to like be booked for it. I think I called at like 9 o'clock the night before because somebody's like, hey, they got this amateur competition, you know, you should try out. So I called the guy at like 9 o'clock at night, and I was like, hey, I was just calling about the competition you got. I'm like, are there still spots? He's like, yeah, we got like 4 or 5 spots left. And he's like, let me put you down. And I'm like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
as soon as he hung up, my stomach was just like just doing pirouettes the whole night.
Yeah.
I don't think I slept that night.
Yeah.
And then you gotta wait the whole day, you know, to drive out there.
Right.
And then it was just a bunch of like just nervous energy when you get in there. There was like 25 guys that were in the same boat who never had done stand up. You know, one guy came up to me and he was like pacing. I'm like, are you all right? And he's like, oh man, no, I haven't slept. He's like, and I feel like I've been peeing so much, I think I had a bladder infection. So I was like, all right, well, you know, if you go on stage and you're bombing, talk about that. That's funny.
Yeah.
So he went out about an hour later and he bombed, and then he started talking about his bladder infection. They booed him even worse, and I felt terrible. Like, what do I know about comedy? Don't listen to me. So I think I had like an okay set. It wasn't like anything where like, you know, I was like, I'm on top of the world.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I bombed. I didn't do great. I didn't do bad. And it was somewhere in the middle. I think I passed out on the car ride home because I was so like worked up with all this adrenaline. And then it just kind of like bites you, you know, where you're like, you want to do it in the beginning anyway, where you want to keep doing it, but you're kind of like, you know, it's nerve wracking.
Yeah.
In the beginning. And then this girl, she hosted a show. It was a college town in Richmond. And she's like, I host a show, come by. Or I host a mic, come by. So I went on mic there one night. And she ran a show. And she eventually put me on that show. And then at that point, I was already sort of like teetering between moving. And then I moved to Chicago. And just, I think it was like about a year in, I started taking classes at Second City. And I did like their whole improv program. I did their conservatory program. I did the music conservatory. And then Zany's was having this like rising star showcase.
Yeah.
And I signed up for it, and I'd only done stand up like a handful of times, and I got it. Like I got it. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, cause it was very competitive. It's very hard to get in. And, it went really well. And then I just continued to do those for a few years until I eventually started working at Zany's. But they were always great shows. They packed them out to the brim. I mean, it was literally like sold out because people would bring their friends, their family, and you know, it was just like the best possible stage time early on.
Yeah, yeah.
We were thrown right into it, and if you were having any reservations about it, you didn't do well. Like, you were definitely going to think twice if this is something you want to keep doing.
Yeah.
But luckily I didn't have any, you know, bad bombs that scared me off, and I just kept at it.
I did some stand up at Zany's for a couple of years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Bert let me go up on it was usually the last Wednesday of each month. And I did it for a little while, and that's such a great room. I mean, that is just great, great, great room.
Yeah, Bert to tell you hello, by the way.
Oh, okay. Tell him I said hi, too.
Yeah, right.
He's a good guy. Zany's is a very special place. I love that place. And, you know, being an audience member is cool, but also being on that stage is pretty amazing. And also, every time I talk about Zany's or being on the stage at Zany's, the crowd is right there. I mean, you're in danger. You're in danger of kicking over people's drinks.
Yeah, you're literally like, because I was there last weekend and my buddy was sitting in the front row, and I was like, I looked right at you and your face was like right by my, and I was like, I can't look at you.
Yeah.
I have to look somewhere else.
Yeah, and like the first like 15 tables are completely lit. You can see the audience right in front of you.
Yeah, and then it's just like weird doll heads, you know, because everything's blacked out after that. You're like, am I performing to people or what's happening right now?
But it's a really great room. Besides Zany's, what are some of your other favorite places that you've played? And that doesn't necessarily just in Chicago, but anywhere.
I perform at the Comedy Bar a lot. I'm actually going to be there this weekend featuring there. I do the Improv in Schaumburg. Once in a while, I'll be at the Laugh Factory, too, on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I've been to a couple clubs throughout the Midwest that are really great. The Comedy Club on State is amazing. That's probably, you know, that's less like a gem of a club.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great rooms. A lot of rooms have been closing, too, which is sad. There was a club in Milwaukee that closed. It had a comedy cafe up there. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago now, I opened for Kathleen Madigan at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. That's a lot of fun, too. Yeah. That's a really big room.
And she's funny. She's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she literally just, like, walked on stage and was just, like, boom, right into it for 50 minutes every night.
Yeah, she's a pro. She's total pro.
Yeah.
No question about it. We're talking with Anthony Bonazzo, who is going to be part of Brews and Bad Movies, where they're going to screen Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space. And that's going to be on Wednesday, March 18th. It starts at 8 o'clock, and it's at the Music Box Theater on Southport here in Chicago. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Hey, you performed in the Del Close Marathon. Tell me a little bit about that.
That was like pretty much right when I just graduated the conservatory at Second City. One of our, you know, troop mates, you know, basically submitted our team, and we didn't really know because it's a pretty, you know, competitive, you know, festival.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got in and then we went down there and we had a really good slot, and it was amazing because every theater was packed out. You know, I think Sarah Silverman popped in like one night, and it was just a really cool experience to be in front of that many people doing improv. Because, you know, when you do improv, it's like you do it at Second City or you do it at like a bar show or like a theater, and it's never like a packed house.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it was just such an adrenaline rush. So you only got like a 10-minute slot, and that 10 minutes flies.
Yeah,
you know?
I bet.
It was a really cool experience to be able to do that, and that's just sort of how, like, it was so weird because we're on this high from improv, you know, we're like, oh my god, we just did this Del Close Marathon. We were getting all this great feedback, and then it just became like we're, you know, stand up just sort of just stuck its way in.
Yeah.
And it was just easier to just coordinate bookings on my own versus like trying to coordinate with five other people's schedules.
Sure.
That's pretty much just how I sort of like morphed. You know, people always say they like, you know, ended up in stand up or morphed in the stand up. And that's just sort of how it happened, you know, where it was the Zany thing happened, and then, you know, it took over from there. Actually, what's funny, not to go off on a total tangent, but when we were in New York performing to the Del Close Marathon, we went out to lunch after the show, and we went to this, like, we were outside this cafe, and my friend was like, oh my god, I think it's Bradley Cooper. And I look over, and I see this guy, like, reading the paper, like, just sipping like a cappuccino. I'm like, oh my God, that's Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
She's like, what should we do? I'm like, well, I'm going to go talk to him. She's like, you can't just go talk to him.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? She's like, he's Bradley Cooper. I'm like, I'm going to go talk to him. So I go over and I'm like, hey, I don't mean to interrupt you. And he looks over. He's very friendly, puts his sunglasses down, and he looks like it's Bradley Cooper. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, are you? And he goes, yeah, Bradley, nice to meet you. And he shakes my hand. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, just kicking it here with Bradley Cooper. And he's like, yeah, I'm down here for the South Coast Marathon. My buddy Horatio Sands is here, and we're just, you know, we're going to meet up later. He's like, if you guys aren't busy, you know, feel free to join. We're going to be at this bar down off of Lexington. And we're like, okay. And he's like, all right, man, I'll catch you later. So I go back to the group, and they're like, what did he say? And I'm like, he just invited us to a bar to go drink with him. And she's like, my friend's like, shut up, Bradley Cooper! He's having us meet for drink.
That's hilarious.
So we waited like an hour, and then we went to this bar where he told us to go, and we see the guy who we just seen, same outfit at the bar, but with his sunglasses off, and it looks like a little bit like Bradley Cooper, but like not really anymore. So I'm like, my friend's like, is that the guy from the cafe? And he kind of sees us and like just like puts his sunglasses on, is on his phone, and like bolts out of the bar. And I go to the bartender, and I'm like, was that Bradley Cooper? She's like, that loser? He's in here all the time. This weirdo just lied to us that he was Bradley Cooper.
So that's like, great.
I was like, do me a favor. If he comes back in here, tell him that Anthony said he's dead.
Yeah.
We just left it at that.
That's like, hilarious.
We just got played by some guy in an acting class that was like, oh, I'll just try out my
That's
Bradley
hilarious.
Cooper.
That's great. All right. Anthony Bonazzo is here and getting tricked by a fake Bradley Cooper. 312-981-7200. It's the Nick DiGiglio Show continuing on WGN. Nick DiGiglio Show continues here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And we are talking with Anthony Bonazzo, who is going to be part of Brews and Bad Movies. And they're going to screen Leprechaun in Space. And it'll be at the Music Box on March 18th, starting at 8 o'clock. Anthony, you talked about how you studied at Second City here and did the conservatory and all that stuff. How did your training in improv, because I trained at Second City as well. And how did the training in improv help your stand up, or does it? I know it's two separate things, but did they run into each other at all?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because I think there's like this, you know, people think like, oh, I have to do either improv or stand up, and a lot of stand up don't like improv or improvisers, and they, you know, there's like this like weird war, so to speak. But I find a lot of the times if I'm doing a set, it's given me a great tool set to be able to shift gears into. Like, when sometimes you're going to go to a show and sometimes the audience is going to be tough and they're just not feeling anybody.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to turn that gear off of, okay, here's all the material that I've been crafting and working on and hitting open mics to really, you know, perfect, and drop and just go into, you know, addressing the room or talking about a specific person in the crowd and just morphing into crowd work. And that, I think it, improv gave me the ability to sort of just trust in the moment that I don't know if what I'm going to say is going to be funny, but I have to try because nothing else is working.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you can kind of find some, you know, magical things can happen, but that I never knew you could happen with stand-up. I remember when I was hosting the Zanies, when the St. Charles location was open. month, and I really wanted to challenge myself. So I remember saying each night, I'm going to try to go longer each night and never tell like a written joke, to just try to find stuff in the room.
Uh-huh.
I think by the end of the month, I did 20 minutes of just straight like calling out stuff as I saw it, doing crowd work, and just, you know, maybe riffing on it or writing a new joke. And it was scary at first, but when you can learn that skill, that it's invaluable. And I don't think that I would have been able to have as much success with stand-up if I didn't have that background first in improv.
Yeah. So you do impressions? Do you like doing impressions?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like sometimes, you go to like a club, and if I'm doing like a longer set, I'll definitely like bust them out.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like it's like a lost art form, and sometimes people either don't appreciate them or it's like not done anymore. And I wish that it was, because, you know, I think it's great to watch, like, you know, Melissa Villaseñor, if you follow her from Saturday Night Live. But
yeah.
She's kind of like re-inspired me to like get back into it, because I think like there's not many people that do it anymore. And like, I know Frank Caliendo, he's like a master, and he just, you know, there's no touching. You can do everybody. So it's like, it's fun when you can just see people that are like, it doesn't have to be like 100% perfect, and it's still like fun just to see sometimes the mannerisms. I think she captures like the mannerisms perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's why that's part of it too. It's not always just the voice.
Do you have a favorite impression?
Well, yeah, I actually, I used to do Morgan Freeman a lot, but I actually started doing an impression of Melissa Villaseñor doing an impression of Owen Wilson.
Okay, wait, let's hear that.
Okay, if you've never heard it, she does a thing too online where she goes on and has like a whole, and I think she does a Tommy Wiseau,
she's great, by the way.
Yeah, she does like a whole montage, and then she does like five or six characters on that's like real. But anyway, this would be Melissa Villaseñor first going into Owen Wilson.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Melissa Villaseñor from Saturday Night Live, and this is my impression of Owen Wilson. I went for a walk. Can I have a job? I was so blue about my wife. She started to match my eyes are blue too. Yeah.
That's great, man. That's great. And listen, Anthony, it was great talking to you, man. Have fun Wednesday at the Music Box. Brews and Bad Movies, Leprechaun in Space. And Anthony, it was a lot of fun to talk to you, man.
You too, man. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Anthony Bonazzo is going to be part of Brews and Bad Movies. They're going to screen Leprechaun and do some stand-up, too. And that'll be on March 18th at 8 o'clock at the Music Box Theater.